Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Magnifique with me, your host, Gabrielle Forshee. How are we doing? How do you feel? Tell me all about it. Today's topic is going to be about romantic perfumes. What does that mean? What constitutes a romantic perfume? Are there any specific notes that we're looking for? And what kind of instances would you be wearing these perfumes at? All amazing questions, and I will let you hold my hand as we walk through this journey together. But before we do that, we are on YouTube now. Just type in Magnifique with Gabrielle Forshee, or the link will be down below. Please subscribe to us. Right now, it is mainly audio. I'm a little bit reluctant to do video because I currently sit here on my basement couch, snuggled up in a blanket, in my PJs, with my cup of coffee in my hand, and I don't know if I'm willing to give that up for the sake of aesthetics. Are you catching my drift? I'm being a little bit selfish right now. And I think we can all stand to be a tad bit selfish. I'll echo you on that. But if you give us enough subscribers, I might be peer pressured into giving you some videos. So who's to say? I'm not ruling it out entirely, but go subscribe to us. And while you're there, please go ahead and follow the podcast on whatever listening platform you're on right now. And I would appreciate a 5-star rating, please, so much. Okay. So moving on to me. Apparently, I don't talk about myself enough, which, like, okay, cool, an excuse to talk more. Yes, please. But at work, like, nobody knew I was getting married. And I knew I wasn't obnoxious about the topic, but I did think everybody knew. Who's to say, though? Also, lately, I've been noticing that I don't remember to tell people things unless they ask, so that also could be feeding into that. I have a hard time remembering to tell people things, and if I do remember, you're getting late information. But I feel like that only applies to personal information. And see, I love to, yeah, just not about myself. So maybe there is like a psychological connection there, but it appears I don't get paid enough to manage that. So maybe just people won't know me, and that's fine too if that is the way it has to be. I do like to yap though. But if you want to know things about me, just ask, because I don't ever offer information up. You will have to like pry. I did though, speaking of not remembering things, I had to start putting reminders into my phone to text my family and my friends. Because here's the thing, I love my family and my friends. I forget to talk to them. I do. And that's embarrassing. At my big age. And it's not like I'm ignoring people. If I get a notification, I have to clear it and read it. I cannot have unread texts or emails. They are all read. So if you text me, you'll get a response. But if I'm left to text you, you will never hear from me until it's too late. Well, not that it's too late, but you know, I'm working on it. It might be a few weeks if I have to initiate a conversation. That's all I'm saying. Okay, next, let's move on. Garden update. I'm so glad you guys asked. The past few weeks, I've been incredibly sad because I thought my rose bushes were dead. Were dying. They just didn't want me to have them as a mother. And fair enough, but I thought they were the problem. Turns out this whole time, no, I'm the issue. Turns out I wasn't watering them enough. Who knew? I thought they didn't need that much water, but apparently they do. So now they're budding, now they're growing, now they're thriving. And I won't be digging up my garden bed in a fit of rage, so crisis averted. Speaking of fit of rage, I think I would benefit from boxing. Not that I'm an angry person by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't really think that I could hit hard. But in the right environment, I think I could really get into it, and I could beat the life out of a punching bag. Who's with me? Do I have any other volunteers to go with me? Because I really can't go by myself. Anyway, I always wanted to do it, and I really like to feel strong. I don't like feeling dependent on people. That being said, I used to be more tough. I used to be really tough and cool and independent, but ever since I met my man's, I've been a little bit of a softie. And, I mean, to be clear, I've never been a tough person. I did used to, and still do, cry upon any inconvenience, but like nobody knew that at the time. But now I can't even watch true crime documentaries without getting spooked. So, and I used to be like a true crime junkie, like inject true crime stories into my veins. That's how much I loved true crime. So I'll say it, a man made me soft, and I'm okay with that, maybe, perhaps. So let's get into the episode. What do I mean by romantic perfumes? There are so many different definitions of romantic. How could you ever classify one thing as meaning and encapsulating every definition of romance? Thanks for asking. The meaning of romance is very subjective, and everybody has their own interpretation of what romance means. For example, if I were to describe my most perfect romantic perfume, it would evoke the feeling and the aura of being at an art museum with like a slight dusting of rose, or an old-timey fountain ink pen writing love letters with a wax-sealed envelope. That's what romance means to me. But in general, it's perfume that you would wear on a date or in any romantic situation. Fair warning, this episode is going to include a lot of note descriptions and going into detail about very specific floral notes. If you're not down for that, I have 16 other episodes that you can listen to, so feel free to do that, please. But this is an interest of mine, so I am pushing it on to you. Cool. So in the genre of romantic, designs typically lean into floral notes to capture the romantic essence, of course. And when it comes to romantic fragrances, let's explore some of the key floral ingredients. So there's five of them. First one being rose. Rose is a note that I feel is used and abused, dare I say. I feel as though roses are the face of romance. It's the first flower you think about when you think of Valentine's Day or any grand romantic gesture is followed up by a dozen roses. It's everywhere. And in most used cases, perfumes will either use a red rose or a pink rose, often annotating the specifics for consumers to see, i.e. Jo Malone red roses. This is a very intense red rose scent, and I want to love it so bad. I want to be a red rose girl so bad. Unfortunately, it is a bit too intense for me, and it does leave me with a headache, though I'm very prone to perfume headaches, so that just might be a me issue. I encourage you all to smell it. It smells delicious, but I can't wear it, so that's on me. The flower and note itself leans very sweet and slightly powdery, and of course, duh, floral. My most perfect rose date scent is La Rose by Maison Francis Kirk de Jean. I have a whole episode about this brand. Please go and listen to it if you haven't already. I'm nothing but blown away by the brand. I'm their biggest fan. They are everything I love about perfume. But that is my most perfect datey, daytime rose scent. My most favorite creamy rose scent, which I would kind of calculate or constitute this as like a date night, like a nighttime scent, is Mancera Roses Vanille. It's I can't even describe it. It's so delicious.
It has a slight edge to it and it's very addictive. It's kind of spicy, but also very creamy. The rose and vanilla blend so beautifully. I only have a sample size of this, to be very truthful, but I need the largest size possible immediately, if not sooner. The next note that you may see while you're perusing the romantic perfumes, really, I don't think if you looked up romantic perfumes, anything would pop up. I don't think it's a true genre of perfume. I think I'm just deciding it is. But the next one is jasmine. Jasmine adds a slight exotic touch to a fragrance. It's very creamy and sweet. And the aromas are calming. It kind of balances any flowery or woody elements to a fragrance. If you're not a fan of overly sweet scents but still want a jasmine base, I would highly recommend Paco Rabanne, Olympia, or maybe even Marc Jacobs Daisy Dream. Those might be really perfect for you. When I worked retail, one of my besties used to wear Marc Jacobs Daisy, and that was really incredible. It reminded me of like a springtime picnic. If that's your vibe, I would highly recommend. It was like slightly sweet, ever so slightly, but like perfectly floral. Take a chance on it. So I often think that roses are my favorite fragrance, but then I remember that lavender exists. And that is 100% hands down favorite fragrance of all time is lavender. Lavender itself is known for promoting relaxation. Lavender appears in a bunch of different beauty products and now perfume. It's earthy, it's florally. Depending on the use case, it could lean powdery. But. I said it once and I said it again. Ysa Salib is that girl. She's always been that girl. She always will be that girl. I love her so much. She is the most beautiful balance of lavender and orange blossom. It, hear me loud and clear when I say this, it smells like the way I imagine floating on clouds made of champagne would feel. I love her so much. I love her so much. I don't know how else to describe it. There are so many different iterations and versions of Ysa Salib, but I think that the OG regular one that Miss Dula Peep represents is the it girl. She is your favorite. Next. Next, I have patchouli. This is a very earthy, musky scent. Patchouli adds a depth to fragrances, originally in oriental perfumes. It's sweet, yet quite smoky, and it balances out the normal floral sweetness. If you're looking for like a patchouli-infused and patchouli-heavy fragrance, I'd highly recommend Tom Ford White Patchouli Or. It is it's quite florally and it's very potent. But if that's your vibe, go for it. It's not my vibe. I don't love patchouli, but that's okay. Also, Gucci Floral Gorgeous Gardenia. That is very nice. I don't love gardenia though. If I'm honest with you, patchouli isn't my favorite note, but I know that it is other people's favorite notes. So, and it is an iconic note. Chanel fragrances often use heavy amount of patchouli in their fragrances. It helps maintain the lasting power of the fragrance while also adding that edge. And a good bit of Chanel fragrances can be classified as romantic while using patchouli, i.e. Coco Mademoiselle and Chanel No. 5. But I don't think, I actually didn't check the ingredients on Chanel No. 5, so I could be wrong. But that is patchouli. And the next one I have for you, and the fifth and final note that is most present in romantic perfumes is vanilla. Vanilla is that girl. Vanilla is very warm and comforting. Vanilla lingers beautifully in perfume bases. It's versatile, it's woody and floral. It can be used in most use cases. In my most humble opinion, for a vanilla perfume to be classified as a romantic perfume, it needs to be warm and it needs to be a sexy vanilla. What is a sexy vanilla? Amazing question. I'm specifically picturing YSL Black Opium. I'm a big YSL girly, but this perfume is, I've said this phrase so many times in this episode specifically, most perfect, warm, spicy vanilla scent. So those are the five kind of top notes when looking for a romantic perfume. But let's talk about the leaders in the romantic perfume game. What kind of scents would you find in this genre of perfume? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to start with the It Girl, the one you can probably guess that I'm going to talk about, Baccarat Rouge 540. Would it literally even be a podcast without mentioning Baccarat Rouge 540? This scent is the ultimate seductive blend. Dare I say a symphony of amber, wood, and just mystique. It's so mysterious. It's not just a perfume. It is iconic. The performance of the perfume, insane. The projection, stellar. The hype, you know, it's not overhyped. It's not underhyped. It is just hyped. And I can appreciate that. I swear everyone I encounter wears this, has this, who's to say? But there are also a lot of dupes. A lot of dupes that could be smelling the same. Because the original Baccarat Rouge is that girl, but she is also $300 to $600 per bottle. It's kind of like the Mona Lisa of fragrances. It is iconic, mysterious, and maybe a tad overpriced, but I think it's justified enough. This is your favorite perfume's favorite perfume. It is iconic. I think if you haven't smelled it yet, yes, you have. You just don't know that you have. Okay, next one. I tried to find romantic perfumes, but I also wanted to give you some unique ones that you probably haven't heard of before. Well, you probably have, but you understand what I mean. The next one is Ellis Brooklyn Super Amber Eau de Parfum. I'm calling all warm scent stands. Super Amber by Ellis Brooklyn it wraps you up in just a cozy, warm embrace. Close your eyes and picture this for me. Amber, cedarwood, and vanilla orchard. Dancing on your skin. It's like a cashmere sweater for your senses. And you know what? I would classify this as a wintry perfume. It is very warm. It is very woodsy. But no one's going to like harass you if you wore this in the spring or summertime. It is very light and delicate, but also a little bit sexy. The next one I have is Jo Malone London Starlet Mandarin and Honey. This is a very sweet meets warm in the most delightful way. Starlet Mandarin and Honey is like a sun-kissed picnic in an orchard, kind of the best date ever. The mandarin hits you with like a subtle zing with a citrus bolt of life, while adding like a snug, honeyed, warm little oomph to it. I would classify this as a spring date night picnic scent, day date picnic scent. Perfect for really just feeling something, feeling the sun kiss your skin. The next one I have, I would really classify as like a sexier fragrance. Givenchy Lanterdy. It's spicy. It's sultry. Lanterdy Rouge is the olfactory equivalent to a smoldering gaze in a crowded bar. Sandalwood, orange blossom, tuberose. It is heaven. But you tell me, it encapsulates the color red, which is perfect because the bottle itself is red. So. And then the last one I have for this category is Juliet Has a Gun Lili Fantasy. It is a flirty twist on a romantic perfume. I would call this a wild card. Imagine white jasmine petals frolicking with a subtle bubblegum accord. It's like a secret garden party is what I would describe its best use case as. It's very sweet, but not overpowering. I have this one in a sample that I got from a discovery kit. And it's really beautiful. I think this is probably the most universally liked one, although it's heavier on the florals than I would particularly appreciate if I had to give one critique. But that's me. That's just me. I encourage you all to smell all of these. Perfume is subjective. Romantic perfume in itself is very subjective. So I encourage you to embark on your own date night journey. Currently, and this wasn't on the list, currently my go-to date night scent, and really overall scent, is, and I've said this on the podcast before, Kayali Yums Pistachio Gelato. It's very creamy. All I really smell is complex marshmallow, and that's all I need. I'm hooked. I'm wearing it today, and I think I could bathe in it, although it does make me sneeze if I put too much on. But if I don't put enough on, I don't feel like I can smell it throughout the day. And this perfume is so good that I really need everybody to smell it all the time. So I recognize that this podcast wasn't the longest one in the world, and that's on me. I apologize. But there's not really much I can say else about romantic perfumes without just talking nonsense. So if you want nonsense, let me know and I can fill this with nonsense, but I would rather you have real things to listen to. So those are romantic perfumes, what goes into it, and I even gave you some suggestions and why they are considered romantic perfumes. So I hope you appreciate that. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast's YouTube channel. Please and thank you so much. And rate us a 5-star on wherever you're listening. I'll have all of our links in the show notes as well. But thank you for listening. Next week will be a April fashion trend report roundup of what we saw in April. And what we can kind of anticipate to see in May. These are my favorite episodes because I really just get to talk trash. But until next time, I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you next week. Bye, guys.